Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Dr. Ben Singer is a doctor at Northwestern Hospital during the pandemic. Dr. Ben has joined us every Sunday, and he joins us again today. Thank you again, sir, for your time. How are you?
I'm well. Happy to be here.
I wanted to first ask you about the antibody testing. I want you to explain what it is before we take some phone calls, and does it help?
Sure. So the antibody test is a blood test. This is different than the swab that gets stuck in your nose to tell if you have the virus right now. What the antibody test does is indicate whether you have antibodies that your body has developed against the virus. And so the way this helps is by identifying people who have had the virus in the past, usually within the last few weeks, and that antibody will stay positive for some time. But the open questions are, if you have that antibody, are you protected from the virus? And if so, for how long?
Can we get the virus twice or more than once? I know that it was we were trying to answer those questions the last few weeks. Have we found anything else out, or we just don't know at this point?
We still don't know. It seems unlikely. But again, this is still a very new virus to us, and we're still learning quite a bit.
Boy, it's the rush to get a vaccine. Oxford University, there was someone on Meet the Press this morning on NBC. You got Pfizer that's working towards it, Johnson & Johnson. I mean, there's a huge rush. If you're a company right now, you want that vaccine because that is a multi-billion dollar vaccine, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are handfuls and probably dozens of companies all working on different types of technologies, and that's all very much a good thing to try to figure out what the most effective strategy is going to be to develop a vaccine.
Do you think we'll see one by midsummer and then maybe out to the masses sometime in late fall?
Early clinical trials could start that soon, but it takes a long time to determine how safe a vaccine is. Because remember, this is going to go out to millions and millions of people. We got to make sure it's safe.
Right.
And also whether it's effective.
Dr. Ben on the phone with us. We have two lines open. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. If you have a question, let's go to Phil and Elgin. Phil, what's your question for Dr. Ben?
Yeah, real quick. I take enalapril, the enalapril miliate, 20 grams twice a day. I had read on the internet that because I take enalapril, it makes the receptors in my lungs very, very prone to this disease. Is that, can you give me a little info? And then I got a quick comment after this.
Doc?
Hello?
Yeah, no, thank you for the question. So enalapril is a type of blood pressure lowering medication known as an ACE inhibitor. And
right.
While the virus itself does attach to a member of the ACE family, we have pretty good data now from thousands of patients that being on an ACE inhibitor or a similar medication called an ARB or an angiotensin receptor blocker does not change your risk of getting the virus or having severe outcomes from it. So all else being equal,
well, that's great.
I would say on it, but it's always a conversation with your doctor.
Yeah, you always go back to the GP, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then a quick comment. Do you think it's strange that I cover my entire body with vascular?
I don't know. Okay. I knew he was going there. It's always the second question. Somebody tries to be funny. 312-981-7200. That opens up a line. Let's go to Paul in Hoffman Estates. Paul, what is your question?
Hey, Paul. Paul, that's me. Sorry. Hey, quick question for you. I've looked up some information on how effective the annual flu vaccine is, and that's around 40 to 50% effective. Why do we think the corona vaccine would be better than the flu vaccine? And then also, are they going to mandate that people take the corona vaccine?
Great question.
Yeah, these are great questions. So you're absolutely right. So most years when the contents of the flu vaccine actually matches well what is circulating in the community, it provides somewhere between a 40 and 50% reduction in the flu. Beyond that, it probably provides benefits in limiting how severe the flu is, and probably provides exceptionally large benefit for vulnerable people who can't get the flu vaccine or for other reasons wouldn't necessarily mount an immune response to the vaccine, particularly like older people and the very young. So there's a lot we don't know about the coronavirus vaccine because, of course, we don't have the vaccine yet. We don't know the components of it, and we certainly don't know how effective it's going to be. But the idea is that even though the vaccine may not be 100% effective, any bit of effectiveness can really help slow the spread and try to get as many people immune to it as possible.
312-981-7200. That opens up a line. Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern, if you have a question for him. Jim from Crestwood had a flu shot in October. Does that help at all?
Getting a flu shot is a great idea. It will not protect you from the coronavirus, but it certainly will help protect against the flu. And if we're thinking about the overall level of people getting sick from respiratory illnesses, getting the flu vaccine is a prime way to help.
Dr. Nzike was on a few weeks ago, and she said come fall, she's a little worried, but not a little worried. She's very worried about the second wave of the coronavirus because of the flu season. Can you explain that? Is that because our immune system is down with the flu season?
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to think about this, and there are a lot of unknowns. So it is true that we are almost certainly going to have the coronavirus with us through the fall, and it may surge again right as the flu season starts. There are a few things to think about. One is that social distancing measures to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus will help prevent spread of flu, so that's a good thing. Like we talked about with the last couple of callers, getting vaccinated against the flu will help keep our population healthier overall during the flu season, even though it doesn't protect against the coronavirus.
Okay.
Another thing to know is we've seen a number of cases where people can get both the coronavirus and flu at the same time. The available data don't suggest that those people get sicker than one virus or the other, but it's something else to keep in mind.
We're live on Facebook right now. This is a question from Barbara. Is it dangerous to open your windows to get fresh air?
I would say no. I think fresh air circulation of air is a good thing. Remember, even in the hospitals where we take care of patients with coronaviruses, we change the airflow in the room so that there is actually more airflow out of that area to try to dilute out any particles or droplets that have the virus.
Should we get those air purifiers? Should we get those in our house?
It's unclear how much they will actually help because, again, the virus doesn't travel all that far. That 6-foot number comes from how far the droplets that come out of our nose and mouth spread.
Okay.
When we're breathing, talking, even sneezing.
Well, what about the wind? What if, somebody sneezes and you have your window open and the wind blows? I'm just throwing it out there because people are thinking this, Doc.
No, absolutely. No, it's a good question. So again, the fresh air, the airflow will be very good at kind of diluting out those particles. And so the likelihood that one of those particles or enough of the particles that can actually make you sick are going to land in your nose and mouth from that airstream are really, really low.
Okay. Dr. Ben Singer on the phone with us. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll take some more calls. I mean, it's a beautiful day right now. People are out and about. How important is it to wear a mask in public when you're walking down the street? I'm going to have you answer that in just a second. Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern on the line. We have one line open, 312-981-7200. Before break, we were talking about wearing a mask in public. How important is that right now, doctor?
It's important. The recommendation to wear a mask, I have to emphasize, though, is above the already evident recommendations to stay at home and pay attention to hand hygiene. Those are by far the most effective things.
Okay.
Wearing a mask just provides an additional layer of protection really for other people. So we've said it before, wearing a mask really provides protection for other people from you.
What about the people that refuse to wear a mask? Even though it's mandated right now in the state of Illinois where you go out in public, you have to wear a mask. There's people that still refuse to wear a mask.
That's right. It is a requirement in the state, and I would follow the recommendation.
Yeah. Okay. Easily said. Let's go to Jay in Mundelein. Jay, what's your question for Dr. Ben from Northwestern?
So of the 6 to 12 companies working on a vaccine and the multiple targets, I was wondering if the doctor had an idea or opinion on the best target that's out there for the vaccine, whether it's the ACE receptor, a protease inhibitor, a mRNA transcriptase.
So who's the closest?
If you could tell from the literature or from the data that he's seen what the best target might be.
What do you think, Doc? What have you heard?
Yes, sure. So there's a lot to that question. A few of the molecules that the caller mentioned are potential targets for therapy. So when someone is sick, have a medicine that could either kind of help soak up the virus or block a step in how the virus replicates. In terms of the vaccine targets, there are a lot of different ways to make a vaccine. The caller mentioned a mRNA vaccine. That can be attractive because it has the potential to be ramped up very, very quickly into large quantities if it is shown to be effective.
Okay.
But there's a lot of different ideas out there, and that's a good thing because we really hope that one of them is going to lead to something that's both safe and effective.
And the most important thing is to keep your immune system up right now, and we're all paying attention to our immune systems. 815 area code, I'm going to be 65 soon. Is the pneumonia shot recommended? Can it help?
Yes. So particularly for people with underlying respiratory diseases like asthma, COPD, and people who are 65 and older, the pneumonia shot, which protects against a bacteria that causes pneumonia commonly, can absolutely help your overall respiratory health. It won't protect you against the coronavirus, but again, we're trying to keep everybody as healthy as possible.
How about the shingles vaccine? People over 50, you recommend it?
Yeah, so that's another good vaccine to get, particularly because most of us never got the chickenpox vaccine when we were younger. We had chickenpox, and that virus is still in us.
I thought once you had it, that was it.
Later than life.
I thought once you had chickenpox, you were done.
Yeah, that's right. You're not going to get chickenpox again, but that virus, particularly as we get older, can come back and cause shingles.
Jeez. 847 area code. Will there be a shortage of flu vaccines this year because people who normally don't get them will run out and get it?
I can only hope that people who don't normally get the vaccine run out and get it. I think that this year, probably more so than any other year in recent times, is the year to get your flu vaccine.
All right, let's go to Bruce here in Skokie. Bruce, what's your question for Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern? Bruce, you with me? I think Bruce fell asleep. Let's go to Ruth in Des Plaines. Ruth, what is your question?
Yeah, my question is this. With all the mask wearing and sheltering in place, avoiding other people, it's all effective for avoiding the COVID virus, but it's also sheltering us from all these other viruses, which our normal immune system is designed to protect us from, and kind of from the school of use it or lose it. Will this over time diminish our own immune systems from various viruses?
Doc?
Yeah, no, thanks for the question. So I don't think so. I don't think that limiting our exposure to other viruses that cause common colds and things like that is going to have any long-term effects, particularly because this is really just a few months. And even if we have to reinstitute some of the social distancing measures again after they're lifted going forward, I don't think that there's a downside in limiting our exposure to the viruses that we would otherwise get.
And we don't know the long-term effects with the coronavirus, do we?
That's right. So remember, the first person ever to get this virus was just in December. And so the long-term effects are something that remain to be seen.
All right. Let's go to Bill in Naperville. Bill in Naperville, what's your question for Dr. Ben?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, I'm appalled at the number of people I run into, even in the dangerous age categories, who will not get any vaccinations for pneumonia, flu, anything. So do we have any numbers about how many people get flu vaccinations now, or likely how many, what percentage of people might get this new vaccination? Because I fear that the same people who wouldn't get the old vaccinations won't get the new one.
That's a great point, Doc.
Yeah, it is a really great point. So I was just looking up these numbers recently. So for last year, the flu coverage rate for the flu shot was about 45% of adults. And this is, again, the recommendation is that every adult without contraindications gets the flu vaccine. So I can certainly hope that now that people, unless they're living under a rock, know a lot about respiratory viruses, about respiratory health now, getting the flu shot, and when it becomes available, the coronavirus vaccine, if it comes our way soon, these are exceptionally important things to do.
I have friends that have never gotten a flu shot in their entire life.
Yeah, I do too, and I even have patients who have never gotten a flu vaccine in their entire life.
Yeah,
there are a lot of reasons why people avoid the flu vaccine. Most of them can be proven false and have been proven false by really rigorous evidence. Clearly, an allergy to the flu vaccine is a good reason not to get it, but that's probably the only good reason.
Here's a question before we go into commercials, and you can answer after the commercial. Are you more susceptible to getting the coronavirus if you have the flu? I'm going to have you hold on to that answer, and we'll get back to Dr. Ben in just a second. Dr. Ben Singer, we have one line open, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Dr. Ben Singer on the phone with us from Northwestern Hospital, taking a few more calls. As soon as the governor walks up to the podium, we'll carry that live. Before the break, I asked you, if you have the flu, are you more susceptible to getting the coronavirus? Thoughts?
Yeah, that's really unclear. Certainly having the flu makes you more susceptible to getting a pneumonia generally a few days after you start feeling better from the flu. That's when we'll see it.
Okay.
It's unclear if that's true for the coronavirus. Mentioned to a caller a little bit earlier that we do have cases where people come in with both coronavirus and the flu, but it's really unclear which caused which or if it was just bad luck to get both at the same time.
Doc, this is from Barbara. I had my first stage shingles shot at a pharmacy. They have now stopped doing all vaccines. I still need stage 2 of the vaccine. Will I have to do both again?
Probably not. Talk with your doctor, but generally you can still pick up the series where you left off.
Okay. I've never had the shingles vaccine. Have you?
No, fortunately, I have not needed it yet. I'm not old enough to need it yet.
Okay, let's go to Bruce in Skokie. Bruce, you're on with Dr. Ben.
I'm sorry my phone stopped working. I was told, or I read, or that all the flus start, in aquatic birds in China. They go in the wetlands, and they bring it over on their feet, bring it to our waters or so forth, and there's many, many strains of flu, not just one. What, am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's right. So flu is a very complicated virus, and the flu strains that circulate every year change a little bit. The flu has a tendency to mutate very rapidly. But there are multiple parts of the genetic code of the flu virus. And every once in a while, one of those pieces gets switched out from one from an animal, and that can be birds. I think everybody probably remembers swine flu,
so that was
one from a pig, right? And when that happens, it creates a brand new flu virus that humans have never seen before, and that can cause a pandemic of the flu. So the swine flu in 2009, that was the last pandemic of influenza.
I've had the flu shot every year since I was 26, never had the flu, now I'm 80. Well, there's a perfect example right there why you should think about getting the flu shot. Let's go to Rosalie. What's your question for Dr. Ben?
Hi. I'm on indigent oxygen, and it makes the oxygen out of the air. Does that do any problem with the virus?
No, not specifically. I think there are a couple things, though. Being on oxygen, I can imagine that's because you have some sort of lung disease,
COPD.
And that, of course... Yeah, COPD, so that will make it or put you at higher risk for having complications from the virus. So staying home as much as possible right now, washing your hands, those are good things. The second thing is if you are out and about with your oxygen, paying attention to what you usually do about changing the tubing or cleaning your device as you normally would.
Yeah, if you have something like that, you have to be more careful. Right, Doc?
Yeah, overall, that's true. Right now, we want everybody to be careful, but to the extent you can, be as adherent as possible to what's been recommended about social distancing, hand washing, wearing a mask.
How many people pass away from the flu each year, and how is it compared to the coronavirus?
Yeah, it's on in the United States, it's on the order of tens of thousands of people. And these are estimates because we don't always know when someone has the flu or not.
Mm-hmm.
Of actual coronavirus cases, though, you know, we're pushing 70,000 Americans who have died so far.